check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Late Show Pod Show listeners can get 20% off on all Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise on ParamountShop.com. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show shirts, mugs, accessories, and more with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
Welcome one and all to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert, and it is... People are excited because it is tax day. And if you haven't filed yet, you have 21 minutes. Good luck. There's a lot of confusion about what you can and cannot claim as deductions, as there is every year. And the Washington Post has compiled some of the things folks tried to write off. And there are a few doozies. For example, one client wanted to deduct the cost of doggy treats and toys at their office because it was their business mascot. Turns out that is not allowed. They have to be employees. That's why I just gave my dog, Benny, a full-time job as the Late Show accountant. Yep. He's down on 10, down on 8. Where is he? Down there? And that makes his treats 100% tax deductible. Okay, that's not just me saying it. I ran that by my new accountant. Let's see, what else is, you guys been watching the news?
Yeah.
What else is happening today? Oh, there's a fun little story from the Smile File. Donald Trump became the first former president to go on criminal trial. There you go. We'll get there. We got an idea. The official name of the trial is the People of the State of New York versus Donald Trump. The People of the State of New York. That's us. Okay, hold on. I know you're excited, but don't cheer too loud. We need you to get picked for jury duty. This morning, Donald Trump walked into the courthouse to face justice for his alleged illegal hush money payments to Stormy Daniels. This is an historic moment we will all tell our grandchildren about very carefully. There was a president who met a special actress for, let's say, grown-up movies at a celebrity golf event and invited her over for a play date because his wife was too busy to play because she had a new baby. And the actress gave him a friendly pat on the bottom with a magazine about money with his photo on it. And then they shared a special unprotected hug. Then he gave her a present so she wouldn't tell anyone that his bathing suit area was shaped like Toad from Mario Kart. Oh. What else? Oh, and he was leading in the polls. Once the trial got underway, reporters noticed that Trump appeared to nod off a few times, his mouth going slack and his head drooping onto his chest. In fact, his lawyer passed him notes for several minutes before Trump appeared to jolt awake and notice them.
What? Oh, my God, I was having the most terrible dream that I had to read something. Oh, no, the dream was real. But if it's real, then where's the hamburger with boobs?
Now, before the jury selection even started this morning, prosecutors argued that Trump had violated his gag order and asked Judge Merchan to hold Trump in contempt for criticizing potential witnesses in social media posts, asking him to fine Trump $3,000. Only $3K? But I guess that's on brand for Trump. KKK. This trial, what?
Wait.
The thing is, this trial could go on for months, but Trump still has a presidential campaign to run. His team claims that even on some court days, Trump will hold both in-person and virtual events. That's going to make for some awkward trial moments.
Your Honor, can we wrap this up, please? Because I am late for a rally where I call for your execution. If it please the court.
Ooh, speaking of which. Speaking of which, on Saturday, Trump held a rally in Pennsylvania in a little town called Schnecksville.
I was told there would be Schnecks. I look around, not even popcorn, unless that building over there is made of gingerbread. Eric, go give it a good lick.
Trump told the crowd he was not looking forward to his day in court.
On Monday in New York City, I will be forced to sit fully gagged. I'm not allowed to talk. Can you believe it? They want to take away my constitutional right to talk.
First of all, it's freedom of speech, not right to talk. And never in a trial, that's how it works for everyone. It's not political persecution if you have to follow the rules.
I went to a baseball game. I had to sit there, eating hot dogs, didn't get to pitch one inning. They took away my constitutional right to be a belly-itcher. Hey, bada, bada. Trump's brain. Hey, bada, bada, bada. Hey, bada, hey.
Trump's brain didn't seem to be working too good. Here he is trying to talk, I think, about immigration.
Just this week, it was reported that an illegal alien, and you just look at this, what's happening.
Adlithin? Adlithin?
It's a perfectly good word. Nothing to worry about there. We all know that word from the iconic action movie, Adlithin Verbis Predator. Adlithin.
Wow. Juicy.
Juicy. Because Trump was in Pennsylvania, he took a moment to talk about local history.
Gettysburg, what an unbelievable battle that was. The Battle of Gettysburg, what an unbelievable. I mean, it was so much and so interesting and so vicious and horrible and so beautiful in so many different ways. It represented such a big portion of the success of this country. Gettysburg, wow. I go to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania to look and to watch.
What a stirring orator. I look forward to Ken Burns' updated documentary.
My dearest Martha, wow. Today we fought at Gettysburg. It was so much and so interesting and so vicious and so beautiful in so many ways, but all worth it to protect every person, woman, man, camera, and future TV. For as it says in the Declaration of Independence, all men are endowed with certain rights that are inalienable. Unabble, babble, dabble, dibble. Forget it, I'm dead.
He, really gets it. This really. Thank you, Ken. Thank you, Ken Burns. He historied on.
The statement of Robert E. Lee, who's no longer in favor. Did you ever notice that? No longer in favor. Never fight uphill, me boys. Never fight uphill. They were fighting uphill. He said, wow. That was a big mistake. Never fight uphill, me boys.
Me boys? Does he think Robert E. Lee was a pirate?
Arr! Never fight uphill, me boys, or you'll walk the plank straight into Davy Jones' plantation. Now grab your cutlass and load the cannons, for we have to defeat the Union scallywags and their leader, Captain Peg Leg Lincoln. Arr!
Go! Go!
Go!
Well, we're about 100 days out from the Summer Olympics in Paris, okay? Just in time. I know. Don't get too excited because it's not on CBS. Just in time for some fresh controversy because Olympians are criticizing Nike for its new skimpy track and field women's uniforms. Okay, let's take a look. Okay, that's a high cut. Explains Nike's new slogan. Just, ow, front wedgie. Multiple female athletes have complained about the bikini-esque bottoms with One long jumper commenting, "Wait, my hoo-ha is going to be out." It's true. So this year, you could literally win by a hair. Wow. I didn't design them. Here's some, folks. And I'm hesitant to go into this because I'm a company man. You know I love CBS. Yeah. But today, I come to you with a heavy heart because a shocking scandal has hit the Tiffany Network. Last night, for many viewers, the broadcast of Billy Joel's landmark 100th concert of his Madison Square Garden residency ended like this. And the piano sounds like a carnival, and the microphone smells like a beer, and they sing it to...
Live from CBS 4, this is your news now.
Oh yeah. I've got some breaking news. Last night, a Long Island man was robbed. Why would they cut him off at that part of the piano, man? He was almost done. He only had like 30 more verses left. Plus, it's a huge cliffhanger at that part. We know the microphone smells like a beer, but what comes next? Sing us a song, you're the oboe guy? We don't know. Fans were understandably in a pissed off state of mind, posting messages like, "Hey, at CBS, WTF is this? You cut off Billy Joel during Piano Man of all songs? Not ballin'. Not ballin' at all." Which is especially embarrassing for CBS News because their slogan is, "All the news that's fit to ball." Now, usually I would never turn against my employer, but American icon Billy Joel is my best friend. His words, not mine. Which is why I'd like to address my colleagues right now. Hey, CBS! You had to be a big shot, didn't ya?
Hey!
Come on! Folks are at home!
Come on!
No, I'm not! Folks are at home just trying to enjoy TV in the middle of the night. Were you having a bad day, or is it just the way you are? I'm not the only one who has this opinion. So does Harry Truman, Doris Day, Red China, Johnny Ray. So never do this again, CBS, or next time someone might just have a heart attack. We got a great show for you tonight.
Coming up, Salman Rushdie.
Here's the thing about eating. We all have to do it, sometimes even a few times a day. But if you already have a lot on your plate that isn't food, like stuff to do, figuring out your meals can be stressful. By the time you get breakfast going, it could be lunchtime. And then what? Eat your breakfast for lunch? Is that allowed? Yes, you're a grown-up who can make their own choices. And whether that choice is eating breakfast for every meal or bending to society's construct of proper mealtimes, you can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals that can be ready in as little as 2 minutes. Tailored to your schedule and weird eating habits, you have the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your cool new breakfast-only lifestyle. You can even try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus, if that's what you're into for breakfast. Or any meal. You do you. Head to factormeals.com/lateshow50 and use code lateshow50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code lateshow50 at factormeals.com/lateshow50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Welcome back to The Late Show. Folks, my first guest tonight is a renowned author who has been awarded many of literature's highest honors, including the Booker Prize and a knighthood. He was named one of Time Magazine's 100 most influential people in the world last year. Please welcome to The Late Show, Salman Rushdie. I'm glad to see you here. Glad to see you anywhere, actually, because for the people who may not know, though I doubt there are many, about a year and a half ago, you were attacked on stage at an event at the Chautauqua Institute up in New York here and almost lost your life.
That's right.
How are you feeling these days?
I'm surprisingly well.
Yeah.
You know, to my surprise... Thank you. I think that the technical term is that I'm a medical miracle.
That's how close you came to death.
I mean, they initially thought probably they weren't going to be able to save me, but then fortunately they were wrong.
Well, it's I mean, a year and a half is really not that long for something as traumatic as that. I know you've written a book about the event called Knife,
yeah.
Meditations After an Attempted Murder. But before we get into the book, I'm just curious, would you mind describing the attack from your own point of view?
Yeah, I mean, I was on stage with a colleague to talk about, ironically enough, to talk about protecting writers who were in danger in various countries in the world, you know?
Yes.
And then the person who wasn't protected turned up was this writer.
Yes.
And the man ran out of the audience and basically stuck a knife in me 14 times.
14 times?
14 times. And he actually looked a little bit like a very famous tennis player. It was like being stabbed by Novak Djokovic.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wouldn't recommend that either.
No, I wouldn't.
But you say you nearly died.
Yeah.
What, I mean, did you have what people would call a near-death experience?
I did,
How
yeah.
would you describe
No, I mean,
that?
I was, you know, I was on the floor with a substantial quantity of red liquid around me, which I identified as coming from me. Mm-hmm. And
so you had awareness. You weren't.
Yeah, I was conscious. I was conscious.
Right.
And I just thought in a kind of ordinary way. I thought, oh, I think I'm dying. And then I'll tell you what happened is nothing happened. There was no heavenly choir. There was no tunnel of light. There was no pearly gates. There were no fires of hell. Nothing. It was just me lying on a stage bleeding. And then, fortunately, I was wrong about that. So they managed to get me into a helicopter and to the nearby trauma hospital in time.
But there was something uncanny about it, I understand. I've learned today that you had a premonition of this
attack. Oh, yeah, that was weird. That was 2 days before I went up to do this lecture. I mean, the space that it's in is called an amphitheater. So I had a dream about being in a kind of movie amphitheater, like a Roman amphitheater.
Gladiators.
And there's a gladiator in it with a spear attacking me, and I was on the floor rolling about while he's thrusting down. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and I said to my wife, Eliza, that I'd had this dream, and I said, you know, I don't want to go. And then I woke up a bit more, and I thought, you know, it's a dream. Mm. It's a dream. Who runs their lives according to whether they had a bad dream today? So I thought, no, okay, I'll go. And maybe I should have paid attention.
Mm, yeah. Will you pay attention to your dreams in the future?
Oh, absolutely. Especially the ones where I win $1 billion.
Well, again, the book, as I said, the book is called Knife, Meditations After an Attempted Murder. How, I imagine, did this help you deal with the trauma of it? Like, what was the motivation?
Yeah, here? I mean, the motivation was that I couldn't write anything else. You know, this is such a huge thing happens in your life. Mm-hmm. And what, you sit down and you write a fairy tale about something, you know, it would just seem stupid.
How quickly did you, how soon
well,
after?
I mean, there was about 6 months when I couldn't write anything. Mm. And so I guess around February last year, I started working on it, and it got finished in about the end of October, kind of like that.
Well, what's the story that you want to tell us about this?
Well, that, you see, was interesting to me. I thought that, okay, I got attacked. That's something. And I can describe that as I just did in 30 seconds or less. So what's the book? And what I felt the book ended up being was about three people. It ended up being about me and him. I don't use his name in the book. Mm. And my wife, Eliza, who was the person who saved my life also. And there was like this triangle. And one of the people at the point of the triangle represented love, and one represented death. And I was the third point of the triangle. So it was like a struggle between hatred and love. Between death and life, you know, and that's the story I was trying to tell. And fortunately, love wins.
Wow. Mm. We have to take a break. We'll be right back with more Salman Rushdie, everybody.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Hey, everybody, we're back with the author of the new book, Knife, Salman Rushdie. You dedicated the book to the people who saved your life. Who were they?
Yes. Well, a lot of people saved my life. The first of all, Henry Reese, who was the person on stage with me. Mm-hmm. Also, not a young man, you know, a man in his 70s. Not like a great big guy, a frail. You know, he ran across the stage and tackled a 24-year-old man with a knife.
Wow.
And then, amazingly, people in the front row of the audience came running up and helped him, and they all jumped on this guy and held him down until people arrived to arrest him. So that's these people whose names I don't know, faces I wouldn't recognize. You know, they were the first people who saved my life. Then there were a couple of doctors in the audience. There was a retired fireman with a big thumb who stuck his thumb on my neck where the biggest wound was.
Mm.
And just kept it there, right? Kept it there, walked all the way to the helicopter with his thumb on my neck.
Were you conscious the entire time?
I was sort of conscious. I mean, I wasn't unconscious, but I wouldn't say my senses were at their sharpest. Not fully, you know, up on it. But I remember him. I mean, he kept telling everybody his name, and his name was either Matt Perez or Mark Perez, and I'm not sure.
All right.
But he was a retired fireman, and he was one of the people who saved my life, whose names I do know. Then there were all these doctors. I mean, there's 8 hours in the surgery. And the head chief surgeon had, as I say in the book, rather a gastronomic name. He was called James Beard.
Oh, for those who don't know, he was a great chef, and there's a James Beard Award.
Yeah, at the foundation, that's all. Yeah. Anyway, he's also a surgeon in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Wow. Well, in the book, you write about one way of understanding the situation, around the satanic verses and sort of the threats against your life having to do with that book, which started when, in the late 80s? Or?
89,
okay. Was this related to it in some way?
Well, I assume so, because, I mean, I don't know much about this young man, except for an interview he somewhat unwisely gave to the New York Post from jail.
Mm-hmm.
Many reasons why that's unwise, but we don't have to go into that. But he declared himself to be an admirer of the Ayatollah Khomeini.
Mm-hmm.
So I assume it's got something to do with that.
Well, you say that, you know, the threats against your life having to do with satanic verses was a quarrel between those with a sense of humor and those without one.
Yeah.
Okay, how do you, and of your attacker, you say you could try, you of the attacker, you say you could try to kill because you don't know how to laugh.
Yeah.
What is the relationship between laughter or humor and this violent impulse?
Well, let me just ask you, can you imagine a funny fanatic? You know?
No, they have to maintain their status all the time, yeah. The Philly fanatic, but that's probably the only one.
So I think there's something about humor and bigotry that doesn't go together.
Mm-hmm.
And humor is liberating, you know. Humor is a way of celebrating life, and laughter is a thing we do together. You know, when we laugh together, and it brings us closer. And this is all the beauty of laughter. And none of that seems to fit into, if you like, the kind of Taliban view of the world, where they outlaw all this stuff.
Or music. You
know? Or music also,
yes.
Outlaw that too.
Organized sound.
Yeah,
can't happen.
Yeah, exactly. Anything that brings pleasure. You know, the American humorist once said Puritanism is the deep fear that someone somewhere might be happy.
Well, last fall, you received an award here in New York City called the Lifetime Disturbing the Peace Award.
Yeah.
And then a few weeks before that, you won the German Peace Prize.
Yeah.
Which is it, Salman Rushdie? Peace or disturbing the peace?
Well,
pick a side.
It depends if you're speaking German or English. In German, I'm really peaceful. But I have to say, by the way, that my name means peaceful, Salman. So my parents thought I was peaceful, for what that's worth.
Well, the book is Knife. The man is Salman Rushdie. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar: Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.